In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So firstly, today is the Sunday in the octave of the Feast of the Ascension, which we always celebrate on the 40th day after Easter, which is always the sixth Thursday after Easter, and that was this past Thursday. It's the commemoration of the event recorded in the Gospels, and particularly in St. Luke's Gospel and in the Acts of the Apostles, which is also written by St. Luke. The event of Jesus ascending into heaven, a cloud. You know, he blessed his disciples after his resurrection, after spending 40 days with them, and he ascended into the heavens, it says, and a cloud took him out of their sight. So the collect for today explains something of what this observance is all about. Namely, God, the King of glory, has exalted his only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph unto his kingdom in heaven. Jesus of Nazareth has become the king of everything. He has a rightful claim to all of it. He has dominion over all because he has been exalted above all. Today, as I mentioned, we are also honoring graduates, mothers, and our choir. So there's a lot going on. Place your bets now on how I'm going to tie it all together, or whether I'm able to. I'm just kidding. I won't try. I preached about motherhood a month ago, the day that we had the churching of women for Mimi Greitzer, and a blessing for Lissa Leonard. And I wanted to tell you, by the way, that Lissa, who was a month ago an expectant mother, is no longer expecting because little baby Gwendolyn was born this past week. And Gareth sent me a text message about it, saying that encouraging us to welcome into the world the newest member of All Saints Episcopal Church. So little Gwendolyn was born, mother and baby are healthy. There's something special for choristers, as I mentioned in just a minute, that Margaret's going to tell you about. But I do want to say that we love you, choir, both choirs. We love the St. David's Choir, and we love our grown-up choir, and of course we love our choir master, Margaret. We are in love with our all choral things at All Saints. I want to say something special for graduates this morning. You graduates, there are a few among us, you have achieved something laudable by definition. You have finished something. You're moving on to something new. The word graduation and graduate comes from the Latin word gradus, which means a step, like stair step, like these things here. It's as though you, by graduating, are going up, right? We might even say that you're ascending, apropos of the ascension of our Lord. You're ascending something, and that thing is the ladder of life, you might say. But it would be good to do a little reflecting about what is the point of it all. Why graduate from one thing to another? Why ascend the ladder? What's at the top of the ladder? What do you want to do when you get to the top? Because, of course, the decisions that you make now, the decisions you make throughout life, will have a direct bearing on the course that your life will take and what you will find at the top of the ladder, and even whether you will get there or whether you might even, God forbid, go down life's ladder. So what is the point? I think what you want, and certainly what your parents, your family, your community, those of us who really care about you and love you and are concerned about your future, what we all want for you is to be, in some sense, a possessor of the world. That is to say, to be successful, to become rich and powerful, something like that. Credentials and even learning are not ends in themselves. They make something else possible. And that thing that they make possible is something like money and power, or even more broadly, having what you want, success. Now, the standard Christian take on money and power is that they're wicked, or at least that you shouldn't cultivate a desire for them. It's better to want what you have than to get what you want, and so forth. And that's all true, but that's not the point I want to make this morning. What I want to say this morning is that the desire to get to the top of life's ladder, to graduate, right, in a kind of ultimate sense, is natural and is healthy. And it's more profound than you realize. It's more profound than any of us can realize. You should cultivate this desire to climb life's ladder and to keep climbing, keep graduating from one thing to the next. But again, towards what? What's at the top? I'm only qualified to tell you Christian things in virtue of dressing this way. But in the final analysis, they're the only things that are truly worth knowing, ultimately worth knowing. I'm not going to attempt to justify those things this morning. There isn't enough time, though I know that they need justification these days, as fewer and fewer people take them for granted, as everyone did not so long ago. But here's my charge to you graduates. Two things. First, and this is counterintuitive, and I don't really expect you to understand it, but it's right, and it's right at the beating heart of the Christian faith, and I implore you to accept it, not least on the authority of those from whom we have received it for at least 3,000 years since the time of Moses. And it is this: if you want to possess the world, and again, you should want this. If you want to possess the world, then the way is through dispossession, becoming empty. And that's because there's no vantage point within this world from which you can comprehend this world. But the good news is that Jesus Christ has ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things. And you've been made a partaker of Jesus Christ through your baptism. So you already have the key to unlocking the ultimate meaning of life, the means of climbing life's ladder. You've already been given the answers to life's final exam. Therefore, seek communion with Jesus Christ. Wherever life takes you, find a community of Jesus' disciples and embed yourself within that community. Seek him among the meek of the earth, the poor in spirit, the peacemakers, among people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Seek him in his word. Seek him by prayer. And remember that he makes himself known in the breaking of bread. That means Holy Communion. Secondly, you should seek Christ in the things that he has made. There will be a lot of things competing for your time and attention. There already are, and that won't change as life goes on. The internet and whatnot only exacerbate this problem. So it's incredibly important for you to discipline yourself and to discipline your attention, to take the time and to make the effort to attend to the things that God has made, because they are a book that reveals him. I'm talking about nature. Find a way to do this that nourishes your peculiar dispositions. I, for example, hunt and fish, but you might hike or camp or rock climb or bird watch or tend a garden or become a whitewater kayaker or any other of a number of things. It doesn't really matter. But find a way to engage with the primary realities of God's creative action. Take the time and make the effort. And don't waste time taking pictures of yourself doing it in the latest Cotopaxi breeches for TikTok. That's not the way of dispossession. It's a waste of time. If you want to possess the world, then seek Christ by these means, the means that he has given us. And these two go together, by the way. It's not just one or the other, or one sometimes and the other at other times. It's in these contexts, seeking Christ in the community of his disciples, seeking Christ in the things that he has made, which you will have to seek out deliberately, and not just once, nor, as I said, not just once in a while, but regularly and for the rest of your life. It's in these contexts where you will find the object of your ultimate desire, the desire underneath your desire, you might even say, the fulfillment of your deepest aspirations, the ones you're only dimly aware of, the top of life's ladder, what T.S. Eliot called in four quartets in this beautiful poem, the unattended moment, the moment in and out of time, the distraction fit, lost in a shaft of sunlight, the wild time unseen or the winter lightning, or the waterfall, or music heard so deeply that it is not heard at all, but you are the music while the music lasts. In other words, to shuck it all down to the cob, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and everything else will fall into place. And as they say in The Mandalorian, this is the way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.